Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport.
Welcome back to the Inside Lacrosse Podcast. I am Terry Foy, and this is a special lacrosse industry podcast. I am joined once again by Epic Principal James Maselli, who we caught up about this time last year, James, and a lot has developed with Epic Lacrosse, and we want to hear about it. We're going to start with a couple of notable signings. Epic Lacrosse has inked the last two to Wharton Award winners, Dylan Malloy in 2016 and Matt Rambo in 2017, both of them joining your team over the last month or so. What has that been like? How did it come about, and what does it mean for the brand?
Hey, Terry, how you doing? Yeah, thanks for pointing that out. It's been an incredible sort of couple of months. You know, we started talking to Matt Rambo. Ironically enough, we connected through social media. Just after the national championship. And then same thing with Dylan Malloy. It was actually the Saturday of the national championship that we connected via text message. And we're just like, hey, we'd like to kind of show you what we're about, see if there's interest. And then from there, both the conversations just sort of snowballed and resulted in some visits out to our facility. And just talking about the terms of the agreement, it was really important for Epic to understand what was important for the athletes. We didn't want to just make this an endorsement deal where we pay them money and they say great things about our products. We want to know what they needed and wanted to grow their brands, because we feel that if we can grow our collective brands together, you know, all boats will rise. So yeah, it started right around the you know, the Final Four, and it just sort of took off from there. And you know, we had them inked probably a month before we actually made the announcements. We were just kind of finalizing and tweaking some things on our side, but very excited for sure for Epic.
That's an interesting kind of point of view, and certainly a very modern way to look at it. What is the athlete hoping to get out of this partnership? What did you hear from them? I mean, these are, you know, pretty savvy guys. Dylan Malloy, obviously Ivy League educated. Matt Rambo coming out from one of the most historically prominent programs in the sport at the University of Maryland, and as you mentioned, coming off of a national championship. What did you hear from them about what was important from Epic's perspective in terms of bringing something to the table partnership-wise?
Yeah, you know, I think it was having a voice. You know, if I had to kind of just, you know, put one label on it, was having a voice. It's, I think lacrosse is in a really good spot where, you know, there's multiple companies going after these athletes. So there's some leverage on their side, but you know, when you're putting a whole package together, it's, you know, I want to have a voice, whether it's in product design, whether it was in doing events and in different types of clinics and making a living out of lacrosse. And they wanted a sort of a national brand to help support that and give them the tools and resources, whether it's, you know, products or giveaways at their camps, or if it was, hey, I'm really passionate about product and I want to make sure if I have an opinion that, you know, it gets taken seriously, and it this isn't just an exchange for cash for, you know, me saying nice things about your product. So I think both of them brought, you know, sort of a unique set to the negotiating table about what was important to them. And, you know, we were sort of flexible and spent a lot of time, you know, dealing with the athlete themselves and family members and other trusted you know, people within their network, just to tailor make a deal that was right for them and their individual needs and wants. But you know, it was at the end of the day, it was they understand the value of their brand, and they wanted to make sure they had a voice. I think there's a you know, another cool thing that popped up during this process, and I won't mention names because I don't want to put anybody in the spot, but the leadership group of the pro leagues, so other pro athletes, were very supportive of these new athletes coming out of college. They told us often that so-and-so reached out, and I went to so-and-so for advice, and they recommended this, and they recommended that. And they were very, very, you know, smart, sort of business-savvy recommendations and requests that really made sense. And for us, it made sense as well, and it really sort of encouraged us that the quality of people that we were dealing with were seeking out advice to make sure that they got the best deal for themselves. And that's the type of people we want to surround ourselves with in our organization. So I think a kudos goes out to the sort of, you know, leadership group, the veterans of pro lacrosse, and how they're sort of, they care about their league. They care about the new young generation of athletes that are coming up, and they were awesome. Just really, really good feedback that, you know, I've heard from, you know, Dylan and Matt in regards to what the leadership, you know, provided them in this process.
That's really interesting. I mean, we've certainly heard a lot about that, and I think that it's one of the things that, you know, a stereotype about lacrosse players is that they're really well-educated. They go to some of the world's greatest institutions. And so you would think that, extrapolating it out, when you get together in a league, there should be a lot of that mutual support. However, it does cut the other way, too, because a lot of times there could be the view that this is coming at it from a competitive standpoint. A better deal for you, newcomer just out of college, could theoretically mean a worse deal for me. So it's good to hear that that hasn't allowed or influenced the veterans in the league to kind of be exclusionary and try to keep within their own arms the knowledge that they've earned over the, and gained over the course of their career. But I'm interested in kind of the inverted side of that question for Epic. So you learn, you explain what it is that a guy like Dylan Malloy or Matt Rambo wants to get out of their partnership with Epic. But what in the inverse, what does Epic hope to get out of these two guys?
Yeah, that's a great question. As you know, we looked out a few years ago and looked at the evolution of the brand. We knew that there was a point in time where endorsed athletes were going to be sort of part of the mix. And with our NLL partnership last year, you know, we were able to secure a relationship with Ryan Benesch, Kyle Matisse, and Jesse King. So that was sort of our first sort of step into the space. And those are some really great names in the sport of lacrosse. But, you know, here in the U.S., we know that college is sort of, you know, the most recognizable. So we knew that the names of like a Dylan Malloy and a Matt Rambo, you know, would certainly open some eyebrows and people would take second notice at our brand. You know, at Epic, our product is always going to be the hero. You know, that's just what we're about in terms of our culture. But we knew that if a pro athlete who has every option in the world to choose a brand to go work for was to choose Epic, it would sort of, you know, help us in the sales standpoint of a player who's decided on his next glove or his next arm guard or his next shaft or head to say, hey, listen, you know, these guys made life decisions, you know, the biggest names in the sport arguably coming out of college lacrosse, to, you know, hitch their wagon to Epic. Let me give a look at this brand. Let me see what's going on. Maybe I've heard of them, but I've never went down to the store and checked them out. I've kind of just stayed with my traditional alloy handle, and I've kind of been nervous to try something that's carbon fiber. But if these athletes are willing to put their brand and name behind the product, let me give it another shot. So we think in the natural evolution of the brand that this was the right time. We think they were the right athletes. So everything kind of lined up, and I was like, hey, let's make a run at this and really push it forward. And it's been great. We spent a couple afternoons a week or two ago in Los Angeles with Matt Rambo, you know, doing some photo shoots and getting some video shots. And we have Dylan Malloy coming out to Minneapolis here on Friday, and he's going to spend a weekend doing the same. And you know, with that is also some engineering reviews. We have some product ideas that line up with their style of play and the type of products that they use and they're comfortable with. So while they're here, we definitely want to spend time with them and sit down and say, here's what we're thinking. What are your thoughts? And keep them in that product development loop. Because at the end of the day, you know, the way that they play and their style of play and their know-how and knowledge of the sport and their gear is a huge asset for Epic to have. So, you know, that all goes into sort of the thought process.
And so one of the things about your brand and your company that I think is so interesting and so worthwhile to consider and discuss and think about is you've come of age in what I would call very much a modern era. And when you compare Epic to a lot of other brands in the space, you know, either most brands or legacy brands or others are still in kind of their growth and development stage. Now, as Epic takes a step towards this level of maturity that I would imagine is very new, you continue to reevaluate your focus. And so you talked about how bringing in sponsored athletes, endorsed athletes, was going to be a part of the strategy. There are a couple of other things that have fleshed out that perspective as well, and one of which we worked very closely hand-in-hand on, that being the Inside Lacrosse Epic Committed Academy that was hosted on the girls' side in mid-July in Baltimore, and then on the boys' side at the end of July. And that was an opportunity to interface with some of the best high school players in the country, all of whom were going on to play Division I college lacrosse, and learn a little bit more about what their tastes were, what they liked, what they didn't like, and then also show them what Epic was all about. So kind of a different end of the spectrum from bringing in endorsed athletes. What was your perspective on that? How did that choice come about, and how do you feel like everything came to fruition with respect to the idea of fleshing out an overall marketing message?
Yeah, I think the events that we partner up with Inside Lacrosse on were tremendous in just those respects. One is, I think we surveyed every single person attended both the girls and the boys, different events and ask them about their gear, what goes into the buying habits and what do they look for when they're purchasing ahead and all different sort of aspects. And there's a broad spectrum. There's players out there that will pick up any stick and just love it. There's other players that are very, very particular about it. There were some players that absolutely love their Dragonfly, but had no idea that it was carbon fiber. So we really kind of learned the gamut and understood the players. So for us to kind of have data to put around some of our assumptions is huge. And we absolutely use it. We absolutely use it in our research and development meetings. It's real data. I don't know if the players understood how much they actually participated in development of products that are going to be in the market in a very short time. But I'll give you a perfect example. We came out of the women's, it's our first women's head. We have an unbelievable design and concept that's been validated, but we also understood that there was a few needs and wants of the players, that we were maybe 85% there and we wanted to be 100. It's a very competitive market that's owned right now by one brand by sort of default. And we want to get there and challenge, the product and make sure that we become the choice of the women players. So taking that feedback, literally, I think we got back on a Tuesday afternoon, and by Wednesday we were on the phone, with the factory and everybody else and engineers, and we had 4 or 5 concepts done by the end of the day on how we can improve it and get it from 85% to 100. So that's real data that's being used in nearly real time to make adjustments to product that, in October, November, you're going to be able to go to a retail store and buy it. And we think it's very disruptive and it's game changing. So, having access to those players at these types of events is priceless. And for a company that's product focused, that's what we use it for. I think the marketing that comes out of it is great. It almost takes a backseat to the R&D aspect of it, but that's just an aspect of our culture of our company. But the other thing we found too, Terry, in regards to putting product in people's hands, the one thing that we've learned in the last 24 months that's an absolute is if we put product in players' hands, they love it. This day and age where a lot of the shopping is done online, players don't have the same resources to kind of go and try things on and try new brands. So they kind of stick with what they know. But having the ability to get in front of a player and say, hey, try these gloves, and kind of see their face when they put on, they realize that something's different here. We've decided that it's important for us to kind of do that moving forward. So having events, with Inside Lacrosse, whether it's a Committed Academy or some other things that we're talking about, or with both of these pro athletes, it's a 3-way deal with Legends Lacrosse and their uniforms/events. Is having an opportunity to get in front of players, show them the gear, kind of a show and tell. We know that we'll get conversions quickly because the gear stands for itself.
Before we get back to our conversation with Epic Lacrosse's James Maselli, I want to take a quick break to tell you about Blue Apron.
our partner for over 6 months and the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. It's their mission to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone, and they achieve this by supporting a more sustainable food system, setting the highest standards for ingredients, and building a community of home chefs. I am incredibly excited for what is being delivered to me this week. Some of the upcoming meals include summer vegetable and egg panini with Calabrian chili mayonnaise and caprese salad, soy glazed pork and rice cakes with bok choy and marinated green beans, skillet vegetable chili with cornmeal and cheddar drop biscuits. I mean, it literally doesn't get any better than that. Although they're going to try with the garlic butter shrimp and corn with green bean salad and roasted purple tomatoes. Blue Apron has really opened my eyes to the idea of what you can do with ingredients and different types of cooking styles, things that you otherwise would never have ventured toward, and how simple additions and touches can totally change the dynamic of the way a meal tastes. And so it's not, you know, the lessons learned haven't just been applied to the Blue Apron recipes that get delivered, but also when you cook on your own, you're like, oh, well, I did this when I did it with that Blue Apron recipe. I wonder if it would work if I do it now, you know, when I'm just improvising. And that's the type of risk that you feel comfortable taking, because in the past, Blue Apron told you to take it. And it's a really, really healthy and smart way to learn how to get better at preparing food. So can't recommend Blue Apron highly enough for really anybody. Certainly they are, you know, really efficient and effective in getting you high quality ingredients if you're an experienced cook, but certainly like with someone like myself, if you're a moderate or novice cook, it's a great way to learn how to get a little bit better. And they've been great supporters of us. And so it was certainly, we at Inside Lacrosse would appreciate if you are interested, check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/lacrosse. That's blueapron.com/lacrosse. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/lacrosse. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
So what else? How else do you attack fleshing out this vision of how you want to build your message and how you want to get the message and the product in front of the right folks, the right audience?
Yeah, I think picking and choosing the right opportunities. There's a lot of noise in our industry right now. There's sometimes I think the people who are screaming the loudest believe that they're right. And we don't believe that to be the case. So, you know, for us, it's really picking our moments and finding where we have the most impactful message that tells our brand story and our product story that sort of cuts through all the other noise that's going on right now. So, you know, find an event like the Committed Academy. Listen, if you're committed to a college, and you're a junior or senior, you know, you're pretty dialed in to who you are and what your game is, and we think that we can give you a strong message and it's going to make sense. So, you know, picking and choosing the right events and the right people to talk to is critical for us. So it's one of the reasons why we love the Committed Academy so much. It's, you know, literally it's the best athletes. It's the guys that we're going to be watching on ESPN, and you guys will be put on the cover of your magazines and writing about and Inside Lacrosse. These are the next big athletes, and you know, we want to start building that relationship with them now so we can understand where the sport is going. Terry, just to kind of follow up on a response from before, I think one of the things that we quickly realized is the products that these players are using are not necessarily the products that get the most likes or the most views on social media. They're looking for rock solid quality products, and they're going to kind of sift through the mess to figure out what's right for them. It's not necessarily the most popular product that is being used by the top level players. And that was really encouraging for us, because like I said, there's a lot of noise out there and there's a lot of people screaming louder saying that they're right. But what we're finding is that elite level players are doing a little more research on their purchase, as opposed to, let's just say, a like does not equal a purchase.
That's an interesting argument, and it was kind of the place I was going to go next, which is media and how you try to slice out what's important, where you want to be, and what you've identified as being places that get eyeballs. And does it fit in? How does it fit in with respect to, you know, positioning your athletes, and how does it fit into being on site at events? What is your current characterization of media at large, not just specifically focused on the idea of social media?
Well, you know, I think the most effective media is the user generated content. You know, it still goes back to the, you know, beginning of time. A recommendation is more impactful than anything else we could put out in the marketplace. So, number one, it's you have to build a great product. And if you put your product in the right hands, or you put them in the hands of people and they're satisfied with it, that the spread of word is going to be more impactful than anything else that that we could put out there. But I honestly think, you know, I've said it before, that this day and age, you know, the demographics that we're looking at to that play lacrosse, that are interested in our products, are the smartest, most savvy shoppers ever in any generation. To give an example, I remember when my dad was looking to buy the first big screen TV, I think it was like three trips to the store. There was magazines, there was telephone calls, you know, in his purchase path, all these different things before he went and dropped the cash to buy the TV. Now you can find the same wealth of information in under, you know, a minute and a half, you know, through your smartphone and look at a different channel. So I think having a nice, tight, consistent message that is aimed at all consumer touch points, that informs but doesn't sell and tell, is really what's effective. How can you inform consumers about what your products do, how they perform, and what their expectations can be on the field? And if you live up to those expectations, and then you've built an evangelist that's going to help you, you know, in the future. So I think from, you know, the media channel is important, but I also think the type of content and the consistency of the message and the truthfulness of the message is really, really important, because this day and age, you'll get called out if you're wrong. So you better have it backed up. And it's, you know, it's kind of scary that, you know, some of our competitors don't even have an engineer on staff, but yet they have these great sort of marketing messages out there about how technologically advanced some of their stuff is. Well, there's no engineers on staff. I'm not really sure how that's happening, but I think over time, the players, they're going to weed that out, and they're going to find the companies and the brands that are really putting some R&D into their products, and really care about it.
Well, that's a natural segue into the last place I wanted to touch on, which is what's coming down the pipeline. You know, we've spoken about the idea of a development cycle and process for a women's head. Probably people listening to this podcast weren't even aware that you guys had a women's head coming. So where would you characterize the product development cycle, you know, certainly with about a year into the advent of Epic being a protective lacrosse equipment brand, in addition to heads, shafts, and mesh, and now just kind of extrapolating going forward?
Terry, we have so much going on right now. It's unbelievable. We literally have meetings just to make sure that, you know, we're hitting our targets, and we're making sure that we didn't miss deadlines. We have product dev going on across the gamut. You mentioned the women's head. It's been huge. The feedback from our retailers. When you get questions like, how many do I need to buy to have exclusivity in this product, gives us it reassures us that the product that we're about to put in the marketplace is a game changer, and that the retailers want to get behind it because they believe that this is going to change the way the game is played. So that's really that's assuring to us. Last November, we got into the team sales aspect of lacrosse with the introduction of our protective line, and I would say that before the start of the season, let's call it March 1st, we had almost 100 teams jump on board and want to get outfitted in this new gear. So that's a very, very short window. We're currently in that process right now where we're talking to high schools, we're talking to club teams, we're talking to colleges, and it's literally unbelievable. We have weekly meetings with our factories to talk about capacity, talk about order materials, because we understand that, you know, deadlines are very important to coaches and teams. So we want to make sure that we don't miss any. We have an announcement that we're going to make here next week of some NCAA teams that are jumping on board after seeing the product in a very short amount of time. We've done very, very well with the MCLA teams. They love our support, whether it's marketing support and videos and things of that nature. But we had a very prominent MCLA team that called up, and the coach was like, hey, I'm going to be honest. I don't know who you guys are, but three of my players came to my office and said, we need to talk to Epic before we make a decision on who we're going to order gear from. So it's really starting to permeate and resonate within the marketplace. But, you know, in terms of product, we're working on a whole new series of heads right now. We're working on different product lines that are have technology that are built into them that are so unbelievable that lacrosse has never seen them. You know, we're waiting for some patents to get submitted so we can continue to develop on that. That's in process right now. So whether we're working with the factories here or factories over in Asia, lots of plane rides, lots of Skype calls. You know, our team is grinding, and we're pushing forth with lots of new designs. We just signed a deal, a development and manufacturing deal with a another brand that we're going to be announcing here very, very shortly. Terry, I'll make sure I give you the call and give you the scoop on that.
Well, how about a hint now? Can we get anything a little bit first letter of this brand's name, perhaps?
No, I'm gonna build up some suspense. We're really excited. My whole team's excited. I didn't realize how excited my team was about this product until we talked about it in a meeting 2 weeks ago and said, hey guys, we've been working on this at the corporate level and here's where we're at. And the response was like, oh wow, this is awesome. So here's a little teaser for you, but you know, the way we look at it is you know, you have an Apple computer, and you know, if they may have to go out and build a partnership with a company that makes an app for maps. We're viewing this the same way. We're a technology company, and someone had a really good sense of a technology, and we wanted to be a part of it. So we signed a deal, and we're going to continue to develop products with them, as well as manufacture it through them. And we can probably have some samples here pretty quickly. And we're really excited. The point is, Terry, is we're constantly looking at what's the next best material, what's the next best product, what's the best process. And we're just trying to roll it out and you know, satisfy the lacrosse community.
Well, James, congratulations on bringing in two new team members in Dylan Malloy and Matt Rambo, as well as all the other developments that you guys have going on. We really appreciate your time on this lacrosse industry podcast, and we can't wait to see what announcements are coming next and have you back on the podcast to learn about a little bit more what's going on in your product sphere.
Thank you, Terry. Appreciate the time today.
Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport.